Well, the Oregon Ducks are a sixth seed in the Pac-12 men's basketball tournament commencing tomorrow in Vegas. And, you know, it seems like Duck fans collectively optimistic right now about Oregon's chances to make it far. I know Vegas unveiled some of the odds for the teams, and Oregon actually had a little bit better odds than Oregon State did. Oregon on a four-game win streak, the sixth seed in the Pac-12. Oregon State, of course, they had lost three in a row before salvaging their regular season finale on the Palouse at Washington State. But the Ducks have got to feel pretty confident about themselves and their chances right now. And we want to talk about that and maybe dip into a little spring game as well, because that's going on with Oregon football. And we do so with the really the right man for the job. That's Matt Priem, 24/7 Sports, taking time out of his travel itinerary to join us on the Bald-Faced Truth. Matt, appreciate the time. Where are you right now?
I'm in some kind of waiting room area in the San Francisco airport, waiting to get onto a flight for Vegas.
Nice. How's the flight? Is everything nice, safe, and steady?
Oh, I got on a flight that had two seats on each side out of Eugene. It was very scary to get on. Not my favorite flight to get on when they're so tiny that they can't put your bags in the overhead bin.
That's right. Now, are you a napper on the plane, or do you listen to music, watch some Netflix, probably working on a story?
I used to be a sleeper, but now I like to watch some stuff on my phone. So I just finished up the show called The Expanse on Amazon Prime, which was pretty cool if you're into sci-fi.
Interesting. It holds up?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. I blew through it in about a month of time watching three seasons of show. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
You're so busy, you know, breaking stories, reporting on stories. Sports are year round. The other day, you started your day at Oregon spring practice, and then you ended it up in Seattle at the Ducks Huskies game. Is that right?
Yeah, that was fun. Spring football on a Saturday morning at 9:30 in the morning, and then we spoke with Cristobal, watched practice, recorded video, uploaded the video, and then I hopped in a car and drove to Seattle to catch a game that I was just praying don't be a blowout and against Oregon, because if that's the case, no one's going to read my work, and I'm driving up here for absolutely nothing.
So it ultimately worked out pretty decently, given the fact that Oregon got that huge win, right?
Yeah, it worked out well. I didn't care if Oregon lost or if they won. I just didn't want it to be a blowout, and I got that outcome. And we saw an Oregon team that went into Alaska Airlines Arena and won on senior day. That was pretty emotional before the game started. It was quite a storyline.
So how do you size up this Oregon team, Matt, given that obviously, they sputtered January and February. I think the loss of Bol Bol had to have had a negative impact on the team, not only from a talent perspective, but on an identity perspective. But they seem to have found a new identity and have kind of redefined themselves. And it looks familiar. It looks like a Dana Altman team. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. You know, I asked Dana yesterday at media availability if they'd made any kind of defensive changes from when Bol had gone out with his injury, and he said no. If you watch our basketball teams over the years, this is, you know, the way we play. We don't allow 3-point shooters. We don't allow rebounding, and defense carries us to wins, and that's exactly what has happened over this 4-game stretch. For Oregon basketball is that, especially up at Washington, they covered their shooters, which is a staple for stopping the Husky team. They rebounded like crazy. They were +9 on the boards against the Huskies. And then they don't allow any easy shots. And you look at the last four games, they played Arizona State, who's number 2 seed. Washington is the number 1 seed. Washington State's the 11. And then the last team I'm missing is Arizona, and they are the 9 seed, and the Ducks allowed less than 50 points twice, less than 52 points once, and then 62 at Washington State. That's the lowest 4-point total in Oregon basketball history since the inclusion of the shot clock or a 4-game stretch in Pac-12 play. They've never had a stretch where they've prevented teams from scoring that low of points. Quite an impressive run, and Dana Altman said it's because they're playing the way that every other team that's been successful has played. They own the glass, and they don't allow easy shots.
Wow. I knew their defense had played well, but I didn't know they had played that well. That's an amazing stat in context. The best four-game defensive limitation of an offense in the shot clock era?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Since I think the shot clock was added into the college game in, I want to say, 84, 85, somewhere around there. So it's, you know, I'm 32. I was born in 86. So, you know, basically all my life they've never had a stretch like that. And that's what we've seen in the last four games.
Peyton Pritchard played 37 minutes in that game in Seattle, and he led the team with 16 points. He had 5 steals. I know he always likes to be active on defense, had 3 assists as well. You know, Peyton's had an up-and-down season, but does it feel like he is individually maybe turning a corner or at least playing to his full potential, and how important is that for this Oregon team to be operating at full go?
Yeah, I asked him if this was his best stretch of the year, and he said yeah. And Dana brought up the fact that he's been tremendous on offense this season, or this last four games for Oregon, and his lowest point total was 12. I think he's had 18 and 16, and I want to say 15 in the other one. He shot the three ball well. He's only had one game where he hasn't shot below 50%, and that was a Washington State game where they really didn't necessarily need him to score a ton. And then on top of that, it's the defense. He has 16 steals over 4 games. That's incredible.
Wow.
He had five at Washington. I was shocked in a way that he didn't make the all-conference defensive team because he's second in the league in steals. But you look at the guys that are on there, who are you going to pull off? And Dana said that, you know, those type of awards go to guys that are on teams that are having really good years. And a lot of those things were kind of made up in the voters' minds, you know, 2 weeks ago before Oregon went on this run. And he noted that, you know, they were coming off a 3-game losing streak. They were 6-8 in league play and in the bottom half. And he goes, I wouldn't have voted our guys there either. So you know, now that they've won some games, he said that kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit here. But I was surprised Peyton didn't make the all-conference defensive team. I thought he should have. And I think just as much as Oregon, Altman, and Pritchard himself have credited Francis Okoro's insertion into the starting lineup as a key reason for this team turning things around, I think it's also the play of Peyton Pritchard. You have to give that guy credit for where he's gone and where he's changed his routine. He's changed his game habits a little bit, and he's playing at a really high level, and a level that probably we're all expecting him at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, are you on the same side of the fence as most all of us as well, that this bracket in the Pac-12 tournament shapes up pretty favorably for Oregon with the 11-seed Wazoo and then 3-seed Utah and maybe 2-seed ASU?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, you're playing a team that you've been able to pretty much dominate the last few years in Washington State. And, you know, the Cougars were hot a little bit earlier on in the year, but they've kind of cooled down a little bit. Robert Franks has cooled down. And look, he's the toughest guy that you have to guard in the Pac-12, I think, because he can score at all the levels in the league. But it's literally just if you can stop him, you stop Washington State. And then Utah, they are always Oregon is always a very tough matchup for the Utes. And so you know, I look at guys like Lewis King, Kenny Wooten, Francis Okoro, Paul White, who on Utah has the size and the athleticism and the length to kind of guard those guys. I don't think there's anyone there either. And then now you're getting into a situation where it's Arizona State or UCLA or Stanford, and none of those teams really scare me. And Oregon's beaten all of them except for UCLA. And they've blown out Arizona State. They've blown out Stanford. And they've had 19 and 22-point leads against UCLA in the second half. So you know, they know they can beat those teams, and the path is there for them to get to the championship game.
Well, they might be seeded 6, but if you had to do a snapshot power rankings of the Pac-12 programs, I mean, you could make an argument for Oregon at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say Washington would be 1, and then after that, you know, it's kind of a pick your poison between Oregon, Colorado, or Arizona State. I think one of those teams is probably the number 2, and in some kind of form or shape or way, they make up the next 3, and then I would put Oregon State at 5. And I think we're going to see a civil war in the championship game. I think that's going to be how things play out. We're going to see Oregon State and Oregon, and from our market, that's exactly what we all want.
Don't tease me, Matt. Don't tease me. I've been on the mic. I thought I was giving a hot take. I was like, ladies and gentlemen, Friday, we're going to see a semifinal that has both the Ducks and the Beavs. And then I bring Preem on, and he's like, dude, Saturday will be both Ducks and Beavs. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just don't think Washington's there. They're not. Something's not right with them. Oregon State's always given the Huskies a lot of trouble on whatever year it is, whether it's there or if it's in Oregon State. I think Tinkle is a very, very good player. I think if Oregon State finished in the top two or three, I probably would have expected him to win Player of the Year. I think he's the best player in the conference, and the Player of the Year award typically sometimes doesn't go to your best player in the league, just kind of, you know, the guy who had the best year on maybe the best team. I don't know what it is. I think Oregon State's going to beat Washington in that semifinal matchup, and then I think we'll see Oregon face off against the Beavers in the conference championship.
Well, I know Beavers got the season sweep, but the way Oregon's playing, you know, you'd be foolish not to give the Ducks a real good chance against the Beavs in a hypothetical All-Oregon championship game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Oregon's going to win it. I think you look at those two games, Oregon's had chances to win both. The one in Corvallis was more tilted towards Oregon State, but, you know, the Ducks had a lead with, I want to say, 6 or so minutes to go in that game, and they played terrible in that game, and yet they still were in a situation late where they could win. So I think Oregon's going to win, but if I were to pick three teams to put money on, it would be Oregon, it would be Oregon State, and then it would be Washington. One of those three teams, in my opinion, is going to win the league, and I think it's going to be Oregon, and it's going to be a weird deal because it's going to look at it. If that plays out, you know, it's going to be a weird season for Oregon basketball.
That it will. The best kind of weird, for sure. Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, joining us. Follow him on Twitter, at Matt Preem. Before we let you go, Matt, snapshot, Oregon Ducks spring football. What kind of questions do you have for the Duck program? What kind of things are you trying to tap into over the next month or so?
Yeah, they're all about just laying the foundation, reviewing the cut-ups from each and every play of the entire 2018 season. Marcus Arroyo told me that, you know, they're not really focusing on trying to throw in a ton of stuff on these guys. They want to build the foundation for the first 5 days of spring ball so they get some kind of a true evaluation of where they're at offensively and add some new wrinkles, but it's all about, you know, building the foundation blocks of this program for 2019. And defensively, it's for Andy Avalos, the new defensive coordinator, it's just where do you guys fit within your defense, because they're installing a new defense. There's going to be some terminology and some schemes that are similar, but for the most part, it's entirely new. Who's the stud linebacker? Do you move guys around position-wise? They've already done that with David Davis, a receiver, to cornerback. Where does Troy Dye fit in, inside, outside? Where does Kayvon Thibodeau, the five-star guy, is he a defensive end in the new defense? Is he an outside linebacker? It's kind of finding out where our guys' roles with this defense, and then figuring out who fits where, how much depth you have, and then, like, the offense kind of building that foundation block.
Does this coaching staff need one more piece? Does it need another offensive advisor or analyst over Marcus Arroyo's shoulder?
Well, I think, you know, every coach would take one more piece, or, you know, a couple more offensive analysts or defensive analysts. And, you know, they're in the process of finalizing some stuff. They're working on finalizing a GA that they've got pretty much done. He's just waiting to be cleared academically to get in. And you know, there's some hires that are going to be made by Cristobal here, and he's going to announce them most likely all in one botch, and instead of stringing them all every couple of days. They added Prentice Gill, a guy that comes from USC. He's going to help out the receiver position. Really good recruiter guy, really good evaluator guy, really good, you know, offensive skill development guy from the Trojans. You look at the USC Trojans receivers last, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years they've had. You know, Prentice Gill has had his hand in that. He's not the reason, but he's helped in developing that talent down there as well. So, you know, there's going to be some pieces added, and, you know, I think they're on the right path.
Matt, we appreciate the time. We'll be reading your work on 24/7 Sports, following you on Twitter, at Matt Preem, and we'll be rooting alongside, completely unbiasedly, we'll be rooting for that Ducks-Beavers Pac-12 final.
Hopefully we see it, because that means I'm here in Vegas for a while.
Dude, nothing wrong with that. All right, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Yep, no problem.
There he is, Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. We ran out of time, but I'd love to talk to him about the barbecue scene in Vegas, too, because Matt knows a thing or two about that. We wrap up the show next.